Welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays by the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on supply trends, category updates, brand awareness, and what's hot in the market. Join us each week from San Francisco Bay, California, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Dan, the Produce Man.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays on this lovely, lovely Friday in October. I'm Dan, the Produce Man. Today's Fresh from the Field Fridays is brought to you by the Produce Industry Podcast and sponsored by Buck Naked Onions, Equifruit, the only banana you should buy, Fresh Cravings, fresh salsas in your fresh produce department, London Fruit, importers of delicious, nutritious, tasty tropical mangoes, and the Dole Food Company. And they bring us all kinds of stuff. Yes, folks, it's a lovely, lovely day. It's getting towards the end, that's for sure. October is coming to a close next week. So what I want to get to real quick is, you notice in the stores, there's a lot of peaches and nectarines still in the stores. But remember, folks, this time of the year, the varieties that are in the stores right now, at least here in California, California varieties, you got to eat them on the firm side. You got to eat them more like you would an apple, because you're not going to get that soft, juicy midsummer experience out of them. This actually is the best time of the year. If you want to cook a fresh peach pie, this is the time of the year to do it. Why? Because the moisture content is a lot less in the later fruits. They're kind of dry, but they're perfect for pies because you won't get all that water and juice at the bottom of your pie either. You can make a nice fresh peach pie and it'll come out just as perfect as pie. Hey, all right. A lot of original stuff going on here today. Let's see. I was in Salinas yesterday, and the outlook is really, really bleak. I gave you a report last week on what was happening with all the greens and the vegetables, mainly leaf vegetables and brassicas. So it's mainly all lettuce, iceberg romaine, red leaf. So the deal is U.S. number one lettuce has to meet the requirements of a grade that's set by the USDA. And the standards allow for about 12% defects overall and not more than 6% seriously damaged. And as to decay, there can be no more than 3% decay at time of delivery. So these are allowances that are allowed in a pack because, folks, it's freshly grown in the fields and things are about to happen. But we're experiencing very, very limited supplies. The plants are stressed and weak. The INSV virus affecting the Salinas growing region. Did I mention I was down there yesterday? Yeah, I was there yesterday. Now, this season, it's at the end of its cycle. You know, it usually wraps up a little bit, you know, in a couple of weeks. So you figure the late season coupled with the really weird erratic warm to cold back to warm temperatures that we've had, the INSV virus, which is, you know, the blight, the fusarium in the soil and all that other stuff that I talked about last week. The move to Yuma is probably will be complete by the third or fourth week of November. So we're going to have to deal with this, folks, with our lettuce crops. So it's just, look, you just keep expecting to pay higher prices and keep expecting it to break down a lot faster. So there's things called pink rib, and you notice that if you look at your head of romaine or your head of iceberg, the rib in the middle of the leaf of the lettuce will get a discoloration, a brownish pinkish color that's known as pink rib. So it's causing that. And then there's also some burn as well on the leaves. So there you go. Again, we've got more. That's your lettuce report from Salinas. And just keep in mind, this is going to be this way till, I would just say, the end of next month. You can bank on that. At the same time, I looked at some strawberry fields that were wrapping up, and those look a little bleak as well. But, you know, this is just where I was. I was just in, you know, I wasn't all over the air. Well, I was, but I wasn't at every place. Some places are doing just fine, just fine. I just tasted a not-so-gold mellow gold. The thing is completely green with a few yellow spots on it. Now, it's early, okay? It just is. And so the underlying tones of the grapefruit are still pretty strong. Now, Amelo Gold is a cross between a pomelo and a marsh grapefruit, a white grapefruit. And what I like about them is you get the juiciness of the grapefruit and the sweetness of the pomelo combined. It's a smaller piece of fruit than a big giant pomelo, though they do get pretty big. The skin is not as thick as it would be in a pomelo. They're really, really tasty. Amelo Golds are fantastic, but I would probably wait until they're full color. And speaking of full color, California navels are being harvested now, the early varieties. Now, a lot of those go in to get gassed so that they'll color up faster. The flavor just isn't there yet, but it's coming, that's for sure. So those are some of the things that are in the stores right now in your fresh favorite produce department. Now, cauliflower Florentino, baby cauliflower. Now, D'Arrigo Brothers, which is the Andy Boy label, calls it baby cauliflower or Florentino cauliflower. Man Packing calls it Caulilini. At times it's called Fioretto. So if you've seen broccolini in the stores, this is cauliflower like the broccolini with long stems and the loose open white buds at the top. Now, I've seen this for years at the farmers markets during Chinese New Year and winter time as a Chinese flowering cauliflower. And what I like about it is a lot more tender than your standard compact heads cauliflower. So it'll absorb flavors better and you can do things differently other than what you would do with a regular large compact curd cauliflower. Now, this isn't in the stores right now. I don't know what stores carry it. I was in a large produce market here in the Bay Area the other day, and they had three different varieties. They had the Andy Boy, they had the Man Packing, and then they had a loose one as well. It's a decent amount of fiber and vitamin K and vitamin C, of course, and it's pretty much available year-round. It's a neat item if you want to get your cauliflower in, but you want to get the green stems of the cauliflower or the white buds of the cauliflower as well. The same thing you would do with broccolini, you would do with cauliflower Florentino or baby sweet cauliflower or cauliflini. So there you go. There's a lot of it. But then again, like I said, at the farmer's market in the wintertime, it's all over the place. It's just huge, huge bunches of it. So check it out if you can find it in your local stores. All right. So, you know, of course, all the apples are coming in. We talk about apples and pears and stone fruit being phased out. And there is a very popular apple, and I'm going to go over the origin of that apple with you. I hope I didn't do this last year. If I did, forgive me, but I'm going to do it when we get back. We're going to talk about a honey of a crisp. Don't go away.
Welcome to Equifruit, an importer and marketer of fresh bananas. Equifruit is committed to 100% fair trade, which means no crummy wages, super safe working conditions, and nothing but love for the ladies. Driving innovation through impossible to ignore merchandising, Equifruit is the only banana you should buy.
Everyone, we have an APB out on a buck naked onion. This onion is produced by Owyhee Produce, so we have to be on the lookout. Whether you're a retailer, food service distributor, or a wholesaler, this onion is whole, it's hearted, and it's a buck naked, everyone. To all you civilians out there, please, let's catch this buck naked onion.
All right, folks, welcome back. Let's see here. We're going to get into some Jimmy Buffett here. What? Is he still sick? Is he still in the hospital? I'm not quite sure. He was hospitalized recently. He had to cancel the rest of his 2022 tour. I hope, Jimmy, you're doing all right, bud. But he did a song called The Son of a Sailor, and that the Honeycrisp Apple always reminded me of that song because somewhere in the early 1920s, through an arranged marriage by the Geneva Research Station in New York, the Macintosh apples, with its origins in Canada in the very late 1700s, it was discovered by John Macintosh in Ontario, Canada, but it wasn't until the late 1800s. Well, not late, like mid-1800s, that his son Alan propagated it and named it right around 1870. The Macintosh apple and the Jersey black apple, which is an old American variety. And I don't have any origin information on the Jersey black. It just kind of was. They were crossed. So the Macintosh and the Jersey apple were crossed in the 1920s. And this cross gave birth to what's called the Macoun apple. And the Macoun apple, it's still around. It's a great apple. It's a squatty in form and very intense flavor. You get that Macintosh flavor with a deep extra crispness of the Jersey black. So that's one apple. So remember, the Macoun. Then, on the other side of the family, the Harrelson apple, which originated in 1922 by the University of Minnesota Agricultural Experiment Station. The Harrelson is a crisp and dark white-fleshed apple, great for out-of-hand eating and cooking, of course. And then another variety in the mix is the Gold Delicious apple, which was introduced in the late 1800s in West Virginia. When the Harrelson and the Gold Delicious were crossed by the Minnesota Horticultural Research Center in 1970, the result was the Honey Gold apple, which has all the characteristics of the two apples combined. So now you have the Macoun and the Honey Gold, which are already crosses of other apples. So keep that in mind. Then they took the Macoun and the Honey Gold, they crossed those, and the child of that marriage was the Honey Crisp, and that's the son of the son of the sailor that I'm talking about, or the son of an apple. Has all the characteristics of all of the descendants that I just described. So it has all the characteristics of the Macintosh, the Jersey Black, the Harrelson, and the Gold Delicious, the Macoun, the Honey Gold, all that in one apple. When I had my market, my produce market, the Honey Crisp actually rose to the top and really kind of elbowed the Fuji aside as the number one apple on the stand. I mean, I would say they were neck and neck. It definitely, and so much so that I actually predicted that it would become the number one apple. But what I have discovered from talking with apple growers around the country is that there's a problem with the Honey Crisp trees. The branches become very brittle, and the heavy fruit on the trees breaks them, and they lose a decent amount of the crop. So the Honey Crisp has been used to breed other apples, okay? So you've got this breed of a breed of a breed of a breed of a breed breeding other newer varieties where the trees hold up. I think it was Rainier Fruit Company that planted Honey Crisp trees at higher elevations where the apples grow the best. This is up in Washington State. The cool air that flows down from the Cascade Mountains helps create a very dense cell structure that leads to a very, very crisp apple with a crunchier bite. And then from there, I would say, I think it was the Northern Michigan apple growers that created an apple from the Honey Crisp called the Sweet Tango, and that is a cross between a Zestar and a Honey Crisp. I don't know if there's other varieties in there. And that was created in 1998 to kind of survive in colder climates. Anyway, the Sweet Tango, that's available as well. And then this just keeps going on. They just keep creating more and more varieties out of varieties that have been created out of varieties that have been created out of varieties. So the final verse in the song by Jimmy Buffett, Son of a Son of a Sailor, is where it all ends, I cannot fathom my friend. Friends, if I knew, I might toss out my anchor. So I cruise along, always searching. And that's kind of what we're doing with apples. And we're creating some great, fantastic varieties. And along with that is a very, very popular apple that folks have been raving about for the past couple of years, which is called the Cosmic Crisp, which is a cross between a Honey Crisp and an Enterprise. And an Enterprise is one of those New England apples similar to Macintosh and Empire apples. And well, the Empire, that's a cross between a Macintosh and a Red Delicious. So the Cosmic Crisp also was born out of the Honey Crisp. And I guess with these trees that the branches aren't brittle, I haven't checked with anybody. But there's kind of a little confusing route of where some of the new popular varieties came from and the lineage that they have behind them. And at the same time, of course, like I said last week, we've got a lot of great heirloom varieties out there that I wouldn't pass up. A lot of russeting around the stem ends. You're going to find some at farmers markets that have limb rub. That's when the limbs rub against the apple while it's growing and causes a scab, you know, a healed scab on the apple as it grows. Looks like russeting, but they're really, really good and very, very tasty. So that's just a little bit of history here on our Honeycrisp apple and some of the newer varieties. And I hope it didn't confuse you too much. So it seems that apples stem back, thousands and thousands of years, and it is believed that the apple originated in Kazakhstan and surrounding areas, Egypt and Babylon and China, and budding and grafting of trees. There's evidence of that going back 2,000 years. And of course, there's the old saying, eat an apple, score gwine to bed. The heck did he just say? That's translated to an apple of vor gwain to bed. Makes the doctor beg his bread. That is a very, very old English saying. And the modern day variation, well, of course, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. So, folks, it's almost Halloween. People are hanging garlic and crosses on their doors and windows to keep the vampires out. And other folks are hanging apples to keep the doctors out. Bizarre, isn't it? All right, folks, enough of that. I could go on forever. Check out your farmers markets, your small produce stores, or independents. They can be big. It doesn't matter if it's big or small. But your independents, so you can find a lot of the heirloom varieties of the apples. See if you can taste. It'd be fun to get yourself a Macoun apple and a honey gold apple and a Jersey black or whatever else it is and taste those and then taste the Honeycrisp and see where you can taste the ancestry inside those apples, the different tones that hit your palate from the different varieties of apples that are in the Honeycrisp. Be a fun experiment. Before we close, it was brought to my attention that late last month, we lost a good, good man, Carlo Midioni. Carlo Midioni was one of my very favorite guests, and I can speak for Guido the Gardener too when I say this. He was one of our very favorite guests that would appear regularly on the Produce Pair radio show during our run from 1998 to 2005 on the Talk America radio network. He was the author of The Food of Southern Italy, Panini, La Vera Cucina, Carlo Midioni's Traditional Pasta, and then Pasta, Cooking It and Loving It, or actually Pasta! Exclamation point, Cooking It, Loving It, and Pasta. Several cookbooks by Carlo Midioni, and I would highly suggest that you get one of them. Just look it up, Carlo Midioni, Middione, books. I'm telling you, everything he put his hands on was absolutely delicious. The man was magic as a chef, and I can't say enough about him. So we lost him on September 26th. Rest in peace, dear Carlo. You're a great man. Rest with the angels, my friend. And if you want to know a little bit more about Carlo Midioni, there's a fantastic article on the web by Mark Fantino when he worked under Carlo Midioni. Now he's a big-time chef somewhere. I don't know where, to tell you the truth. But the article is called Vivande Was One of a Kind. It's from April 4th, 2015. So check that out. All right, folks, be sure also to check out the Produce Industry Podcast with Patrick Kelly every Monday, as well as the Produce Industry Show on YouTube and the Produce Industry app. You got to have that. Download that on your phone or your tablet. It's a great resource. Also, check out my YouTube and Rumble channels called Dan the Produce Man. And all my social media can be found at dantheproduceman.com. Until next week, this is Dan the Produce Man reminding you that it's always best when you get it fresh.
You've been listening to Fresh from the Field Fridays with Dan, the produce man. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast and at Dan, the produce man. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.